Imagine that you planned a new initiative, or perhaps you invented a new product, and you're actually now at a stage you're up and running, but people just don't get it. The vision was for something that was going to help people, but for some reason, they just assume that it's going to harm them instead. You've designed something that will solve a problem, but they think that you're actually creating a problem. Imagine planning the launch of your new initiative and advertising it for centuries in advance. And when you get to launch date, you discover that people have not been engaging with the advertising. They are not ready to embrace this something new. Or perhaps they assume that it is suitable for other people, but that it will not work for them. About 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah foretold that he would be born and what he would be called. You know so well, of course, the foretelling of Emmanuel. And we find this, of course, in Isaiah chapter 7. But just have a look, starting in verse 13, and listen to the tone of voice, if you like, the tone with which Isaiah speaks. This is what he says in verse 13. "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of God also?" Do you sense the frustration, Isaiah's frustration as he says this? Do you sense the tone? Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you also try the patience of God? And it's in that context that we have this beautiful Emmanuel verse. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Now, it's interesting because Isaiah does not define what that word, that name Emmanuel, means. But the writer of the gospel, Matthew, he does. And in Matthew's gospel, we just get this note, really. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," quoting Isaiah. And then he adds, "which means God with us." Emmanuel means God with us. God coming close. What does holy mean? Set apart, yeah? Holy means set apart. Emmanuel means God coming close. God with us. Does it amaze you? Or perhaps I should say, does it ever cease to amaze us? That set apart God in Jesus is also coming close, God. You know, when we talk about what God's done for us in Jesus, set apart, holy God, is coming close, God, Emmanuel, God with us, God. What a miracle this is for us as individuals, for each other and for our world. What a miracle is gospel. Gospel is a miracle. We've heard it so many times, we're beginning to take it for granted, but gospel is a miracle. For me as an individual, for us in our relationships, one with another, and for us as we go out to our world. Grace is a miracle. Mercy is a miracle. That's why I commented about the appropriateness of the song. Grace and mercy, they're for us as individuals. We've got to embrace grace and mercy. Grace and mercy are for us as we relate to each other, forgiving one another, loving one another, understanding one another. Salvation is a miracle. I'm saved by grace. You're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace, not by works. You're saved by grace, not by works. When we get hold of that, doesn't that change all the little niggly things that we have one with another? Because actually, none of us are saved by what we do. Salvation is a miracle for us, for each other, for our world. And if it's not a miracle for us and for each other, how can we present it to our world? Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God on our side. And isn't it a challenge at times? We say, God's on my side, but I'm not on the side of my brothers and sisters. Haven't we got to be on God's side? And haven't we got to be on the side of our brothers and sisters? Even when at times we might feel like our brother's a bit like the younger son in the parable, you know, the parable of the lost son, what you call the prodigal son. He doesn't deserve it. Why is my father treating him so well? Haven't we got to be extending grace to each other? What a miracle, Emmanuel, God with us, God on our side. And what a tragedy if people don't get it. What a tragedy if people say, I'm too bad for God. Have you ever heard people say that? I'm too bad for God. God could not come close to me. God wouldn't want to come close to me. Or this one. It may work for others, but it's not for me. Did that ever happen in the Bible? When Emmanuel came close, did people ever say, Emmanuel, stop coming close, go away? Let's have a look at two examples in Luke's Gospel. The first one, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. But Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and they followed Jesus. Simon Peter saw the power of Holy God. Now get this. He was in the boat with Emmanuel. God had come very close. So close that he was actually in the boat. And God performed a miracle. That amazing catch of fish. And what did Simon Peter say to Emmanuel? What did Simon Peter say to God with us? He said, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me, Lord." Surely that isn't the reason for Emmanuel coming close so that people would say, "Go away from me." Do you ever say that? Do I ever say that? Have we ever said that? Perhaps Peter felt that Emmanuel was close, too close for comfort, as we say. And maybe that's the thing, you see. When God gets close, when we get close to each other, when we begin to understand each other, the good bits and the bad bits, the temptation, the reaction is to say, "Go away. Let's put distance. Let's separate. Let's leave." You know? But you see, this is a thing. That's not all he says. He doesn't just say, "Go away from me, Lord." He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And somehow that changes everything. What a difference those few words made. The latter words, "for I am a sinful man." Because those words are words of confession. Those words are words of repentance. Does confession change anything? Just a few words? Does confession change anything? I'd say that confession changes everything. Everything. That's what makes all the difference. Yes, Jesus has come too close for comfort. Peter's feeling prickly. He's feeling uncomfortable. The going gets tough. A lot of them get going, clear off. Too close for comfort. The reference isn't on the screen, but in 1 John we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." See what a difference confession made on that day with Peter in the boat. Let me read those verses again. Verse 8 from where we are in Luke chapter 5. "When Simon Peter saw this, the miraculous catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.'" And you get one thing here, that he's now been called to do and be the very thing that he was called to do and be at the beginning when Jesus first called him. Remember? And said, "Come, follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He's reinstating the calling. Even though there's that been that momentary blip, Jesus, get away from me. I'm sinful. This isn't going to work. It can't work. There's too much human nature around. There's too much conflict. It just can't work. But because there's confession, he says, I'm a sinful man. That changes everything. What a tragedy when we don't confess. When we don't confess. So what can we learn from Simon Peter? When we feel that God is coming close, let's not tell him to go away. Let's confess our sins and continue following him. Now, this is not the only incident in Luke's gospel where people saw the power of God in Jesus, in Emmanuel, and told him to go away. We get another instance in Luke chapter 8. And I tell you what, the sad thing is that this one doesn't end so well as the one we've just read. Let's have a read. Luke chapter 8. Jesus spent a lot of time in boats, as you know, sailing here and there. This one starts. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Now, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, it had broken his chains, and he had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported this in the town and in the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a wonder? He's now dressed and in his right mind, the one who had been undressed. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. He'd been healed. Isn't that a miracle? But look at verse 37. Then all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave them. Because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. Is that not a tragedy? What a tragedy to reject grace, to reject mercy, to reject Jesus. All the people from the region asked Jesus to leave them because they'd seen a miracle. So he got into the boat and he left. What a tragedy, my friends. Emmanuel, God with us, has come so close, has been in our village, has been in our cul-de-sac or our avenue or our street. And maybe we have asked him to leave. Asked him to go away. So again, I say, imagine. Imagine that you planned a new initiative, but people just didn't get it. Imagine you'd planned a way to help people, but they thought it was going to harm them. Perhaps it was going to harm the me in me. You know what I mean by the me in me? The I. Perhaps it was going to affect their pride. A way to help people they thought it was going to harm them. Imagine planning the launch of your new initiative, advertising it for 700 years. And when you get to launch date, you find that people have not been engaging with the advertising. They are not ready to embrace this something new. But look, my friends, I don't want to end on a negative. It's first Sunday of the year. Let's end on a positive note. We've talked about people who didn't get it. Let's talk about somebody who did get it, who really got it. And you'll find that in Luke 23. We're talking about the most unlikely of people to get it. The most unlikely person to get it, to get this whole Emmanuel thing, God with us, surely was the criminal on the cross next to Jesus. Luke 23, verse 32, two other men, they were both criminals. They were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and even the rulers sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the King of the Jews. And even one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself. Save yourself and us. And it's in that context, in that scene, in that setting, verse 40, the other criminal rebuked him and said, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Did the criminal on the cross get it? He really got it. He got it that Jesus was holy God, set apart without sin. And he also got it that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God on the cross next to us. He understood the here and now, and he understood eternity. And in those few words, he repented and put his faith in Emmanuel. He said, we are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Words of repentance. Then he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Words of faith. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So for all of us, if God is calling us, let's not push him away. Let's make sure that we get it. He wants to invite us into his family. He wants to restore us in his family. He wants us to live as family, his family. We've got to confess our sins and believe in him. We've got to embrace the grace of God. It is for us. It is for each one of us.